US politics is bloody mad at the best of times, but, gee, it makes you glad you live in little old Adelaide. That's from Tim. Tim, agree entirely with that. Righto, joining us on the program right now, a couple of people, I'm looking forward to this, is the CEO of Food South Australia. She's been in the position for the last, 7 or 8 years, ever since the thing was founded, Catherine Sayer, and an old mate of mine. They call him the King of Crystal Brook. He's been a... God, he's been everything. He's been a cricketer, a footballer. He was a premier at one stage of the game. He was he was the boss of the SANFL. There's nothing he hasn't done. I'm talking about Rob Kieran. Catherine and Rob, good afternoon and welcome. Lovely to have you on the show.
Thanks, Tony. Morning.
Now, listen, Rob, the King of Crystal Brook. God, it's good to catch up with the old Katoma. I like talking to people my age. I really do. Catherine, you're a lot younger than both of us. Catherine, as the as the boss of CEO Food South Australia, it's got to be a fallacy. There will not be a food shortage. Some of the sceptics have said that the next problem we could face as a result of COVID-19 could be a shortage of food here in SA. Is that true or false?
No, absolutely not, Tony. In fact, we are so lucky in South Australia and Australia where we can feed 70-odd million people before we run out of food.
70 million?
Yeah. Yep. The sums don't work. We will not run out of food, and aren't we lucky that we've got so much diversity of food that we can access on a daily basis?
Catherine, how much of this we can feed 70 million? That's staggering.
That's why we've got to export.
Our exports, where to? Are we talking about Indonesia, China? Where do we export to in a big way?
It depends what kind of product you're talking about, but there's a lot of exports of food and beverages go into China. We have a very strong trading relationship with Japan as well. I think we're seeing a lot of demand. Before all this drama came up, we were starting to see a lot of interest in the US and starting to work on some programs around there. But, you know, it depends what product you've got. Certainly Southeast Asia is a great market for us, and we do focus on that. But there's opportunities all over the world, actually, UAE as well.
Okay, we're talking about the food and the agricultural industry here in South Australia. Catherine, what are the main crops? What are the main food items that we produce here that are in demand overseas?
Well, I mean, Rob can answer some of those questions around some of the primary production, but certainly seafood. Seafood is in high demand in Asian countries. We export a lot of citrus and almonds all over the world, and particularly the citrus goes to Japan. We have packaged goods. I mean, you get on a plane and you can see little jars of Berenberg jam all over the world on a plane and in hotels. So there's all sorts of products that are in demand.
Rob Kieran, to give Rob his official title rather than just the King of Crystal Brook and the boss of everything, he's the Chair of Primary Producers here in South Australia and Chair of the South Australian Oyster Growers Association. Rob, what about the fishing industry? Are they struggling all of a sudden because of the lack of a demand from China?
Yeah, there's a couple of issues with the fishing industry. Certainly the lobster guys missed out really badly. Chinese New Year is a massive one for them. So they missed out on that. That's starting to pick up a bit now. But with some of the, like abalone, tuna, lobster, a lot of that goes into Asia. So first off, they suffered from the fact that restaurants and hotels were closed over there. Chinese New Year was a lockdown, which is a big change for that part of the world. But now the issue is so much of that high-value stuff was going on passenger flights out of Adelaide and Melbourne.
Oh.
Well, they've stopped pretty much. So there's a massive exercise going on at the moment to try and get dedicated food freighters to make sure that trade gets up and going again.
Rob, how important economically is the agricultural business and primary producers here in South Australia? It's got to be worth squillions of dollars to us.
Yeah, it's about a $20 billion industry in the state for food and wine. Yeah, our exports are well and truly dominated by food and minerals. So, you know, $7.4 billion in ag food exports last year, which is terrific, or ag commodities. So it's a massive industry for us. As Catherine said, you know, 70% of what we grow in Australia, we actually export, so... Food security is not an issue. So 89% of the food eaten in Australia is actually grown in Australia. So we are very self-sufficient, and food security is not really an issue. Even in drought years, we're a major exporter.
We're talking to Rob Kieran and Catherine Sayer about the importance of agricultural industries and primary producers here in South Australia. Both industries have been declared an essential service. A question to both of you, to Catherine and to Rob. How many people are actually employed in this sector?
The stat that's often used is 1 in 5 working South Australians work in the food and beverage industry, and that would include primary production as well as hotels and restaurants, etc. So it's a massive employer out of this state.
And you're talking about, when you say it's declared as essential services, both the agricultural industries and related businesses across the thing, this includes trucks and freight and all that sort of thing, doesn't it?
It's the whole supply chain. So you've got to work out, well, if you've got to get your food from A to B, you've got to have the freight. And we've seen what's happened in the supermarkets and how the supply chain's been really challenged, particularly with toilet paper and some other staples.
Yeah,
so
right.
You've got to think about, the wheat grower, the pasta maker, the freighter, the supermarket, they're all interlinked. So it's not only what you see on the supermarket shelf or before in a cafe or a restaurant, it's actually how it gets there we've got to think about, and that whole supply chain is critical.
We're talking to Catherine Sayer. Catherine is the CEO of Food SA, and Rob Kieran is the Chair of Primary Industry Producers and also Chair of the South Australian Oyster Growers Association. Rob, a question to you, and something that has only just lightly been touched on. Because of the disruptions and all of a sudden the people who have lost their jobs, whether it be permanently or temporarily, what about the mental health issue and the well-being of some people involved in the industry? This is something that a lot of people don't really want to talk about.
Yeah, look, I think probably a bigger issue for that has been drought and bushfires.
Yes.
Particularly with COVID.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a combination of factors. So there'll be people out there who've been affected by the whole three. The bushfire one's a really difficult one. But overall, primary producers, some have been really heavily affected, such as some of the seafood industry and some of those who specialise in supplying restaurants and hotels. So the oyster growers, for instance, about 90% of their stuff goes through restaurants, hotels. So they're doing it really hard. If you're out there as a broadacre cropper running livestock, you're not greatly affected. There's a few logistical issues, but for instance, we're talking about, Catherine mentioned supply chain. So that supply chain, which is an essential service, includes things like the farmer being able to get his fertiliser and his chemicals and whatever to grow the crop coming forward, all the vet services and inputs for feed, like feed supplements for cattle and pigs and poultry and whatever. So, yeah, it's worked pretty well. The border issues, we've had a couple of hiccups, but overall it's worked incredibly well. So I think that, we've worked closely with government, and certainly PIRSA and some of the other agencies have done a terrific job. Whenever we've got a concern, we've raised it with them, and they've been terrific at getting out back to us really quickly with solutions to any of the problems we're coming up against.
We're talking to Catherine Sayer, the boss of Food South Australia, and the former Premier in the state. Rob Kieran has got a whole list of titles under it. The bushfire victims, we're starting to hear that some of them are thinking that they've been not necessarily overlooked, but perhaps even forgotten because of a result of what's happened with this virus thing that came from out of nowhere. But, some of the bushfire victims, some of those people must still be struggling, I'd hazard a guess, both financially and mentally, I'd reckon.
Yeah, look, the clean-up phase after a bushfire is, your heart goes out to those people. It really is difficult. Adelaide Hills doing it really hard, and they do feel as if they've been forgotten and people have moved on, and you can understand that. Certainly that western end of Kangaroo Island, where just about everything got burnt.
Yeah.
It must be really hard to make the decision. Do you really want to keep going? But they're a resilient group. Just to illustrate it, I had a phone, an email from the president of the footy club down there, and their son of Phil had sent some gear down for them. But they came back and said, you don't know anyone that's got a ute. All the utes have been burnt. We need a ute to deliver stuff. It just, you just don't think of losing everything. The mental health aspect of that. Look, through rural business support, who'd run the rural counselling service, and a range of other initiatives. There's a fair bit of help out there for them, but yeah, it's a pretty tough time. Certainly the bushfires have sort of been a much bigger issue in the primary industry field than COVID has, to tell you the truth.
Catherine, an email from Bernadette. She said, what about the wine industry? How badly has that or will that be affected down the track?
We don't actually focus on wine. There is a wine association, but I can answer because I do talk to that association a lot.
Yeah.
They've been affected by the bushfires. They've been affected then by the current situation, particularly, vintage is happening. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the quality of the wine is after all of this. And there was certainly testing done on grapes to try to make sure that was all as good as it could be. But, you know, if you're a winery and you're a cellar door or you supply to restaurants and cafes, that's a significant part of your business is gone. So what we've seen, and we've done this in the food and beverage space as well, is reverting to online marketplaces. So, you know, a winery that might not necessarily have been able to deliver directly to a consumer, those ones that have been really adaptable have switched over really quickly, and you can buy some really nice wine online.
Right, yeah, okay, thank God for that. Back in a moment or so, Tom at, where are you? Tom at Holden Hill will put your question to both Rob and Catherine in a moment or so. It's just a little after a quarter to two now.
Tuesday afternoons from 5:30, AFL icon and Hall of Fame legend Kevin Sheedy joins Rowie and Biggs to discuss all the key AFL issues.
Thanks to BL Shipway,
a South Australian institution looking after SA's hydraulic and pneumatic needs for over 70 years.
Even in difficult times, you're still going to get a blocked drain, no hot water, dripping taps or a leaky roof. Ken Hall Plumbers are here to help and ready to work safely in your home. Everyday problem? Ken Hall Plumbers. 8364 5855.
My great uncle was killed just 2 months before the war ended. How did it happen?
Find the answers with Ancestry, the world's largest online collection of military records. Start your search today with a 14-day free trial at ancestry.com.au. Terms apply.
Indeed they do. It's important to remember that services like the essential things like electricity and solar and plumbing and gas are absolutely vital services. Call them whatever you will. And if something's not quite right, don't wait until this COVID thing is over and done with. That could be weeks and weeks and weeks away. Get it seen to right now. You can't afford to put it off. If you've got trouble with, your gas or your electricity or your solar or worse still, your plumbing, and you're thinking, oh, goodness me, I need to have it fixed. The people at Sharp Services can guarantee to have somebody at your home within the hour to fix that problem of yours. It could be the lights are flickering on, or perhaps you keep blowing bulbs, or maybe the safety switch is going on and off, tripping all of the time. Perhaps even the solar system requires a service, or your aircon is on the blink. Do not wait. This can be dangerous. In fact, worst scenario, this could lead to a fire of some kind or another. And the same goes for your gas. If you can smell gas, you know something, hey, that's not the way it should be. That's not right. Don't hesitate. Give them a call at Sharp Services and they'll have someone there within the hour to take a look at it, not only take a look at it, but actually fix the problem for you. And for extra peace of mind, remember that all Sharp Service technicians are COVID-19 aware, adopting the best practices to ensure your safety at all times. Give them a call and they've got somebody expert in the field there to do the job and fix it up for you. And no good waiting. You can't afford to wait. Sharp Services and their telephone number, it's an easy one. It's a 131 number, 131750. 131750 Sharp Services, and they'll have an expert person on the job there for you within the hour to fix it up for you.
At Spotlight, a window is what you make it. Save 40% off made-to-measure shutters. Our consultants are available and can come to you. We have health and safety procedures to keep you and our team safe. Book your free in-home measuring quote today. Call 1300 662 742. Exclusions apply. At Spotlight, it's what you make it.
What is it now, Barry?
I just saved us $200, Bev.
How?
Walker Crash Repairs are giving us $200 toward the excess on caravan repair claims. How good is that? $200 off the excess.
And they'll fix that scrape you put in the van on our summer trip?
Yep. And I save $200.
Or?
It goes to you, love. Walker Crash Repairs. Insurance repairs to caravans, cars and four-wheel drives. An RAA-approved crash repairer. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, you've called the Rollador Doctor. This is Nurse Tracy.
Oh, hi, Tracy. I'd like my car to self-isolate with me, but the garage door's playing up.
Sure, no problem. Our expert technicians are still available to service, repair or replace your garage door or opener.
Oh, that's a relief.
We take extreme care to uphold hygiene regulations and maintain safe social distance. Head to therollerdoordoctor.com.au or call us on 8349 9005.
I'm Professor Gary Jennings, Chief Medical Advisor at the Heart Foundation. If you have heart disease, you're more vulnerable to severe COVID-19 complications. It may also worsen existing heart conditions. So in addition to good hygiene and social distancing, it's also vitally important that you stay connected with your doctor. New measures are in place to help you contact your doctor from home and have your medicines delivered. The Heart Foundation is here to support you. For more advice, visit our website or call our helpline on 13 11 12.
We looked to build a house at Springwood in Gawler East. Ventured into the estate and saw the colour bond steel fencing. The colour was striking, monument, and it was going to suit how we wanted to set up our house. We've got plenty of colour bond steel around the house, from the fencing to the pergola, doghouse for Lloyd and Otis. We've got the guttering that surrounds the house, so we've got plenty of colour bond steel. We love colour bond steel.
Colour bond steel, made for Australia, loved in Adelaide.
Macular degeneration is Australia's leading cause of blindness. If you're over 50, have an eye test and macular check. Early detection is vital. You can have the very early signs without even knowing. Information, guidance and support is only a phone call away. Call the Macular Disease Foundation on 1-800-111-709 for a free macular degeneration information kit.
Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Caravan Repairs. Easy insurance repairs, fast. This is Tony Pilkington.
It's 9 minutes to 2. G'day, everybody. Welcome to the afternoons. We're talking to Rob Kerrin, the Chair of Primary Producers here in South Australia, and the CEO of Food SA, a lady who's been in the job ever since it was instigated, Catherine Sayer. We're talking about this pandemic, of course, has had a significant impact on many agricultural industries and primary producers here in South Australia. Tom, you're at Holden Hill, and you've got a question for our guest this afternoon. Hello, Tom.
Yes, hello. Please, no disrespect to your guest, but since first settlement, we've actually flogged this country to produce far more than our current population has ever required. We're basically always exporting water whenever we sell products from the land, particularly dairy. I mean, I spent a lot of time in the Kyabram area and saw that what was happening with the country there, with an irrigation being brought in there to keep all the dairy farms going, and now everything's so salty there you can't grow a bloody thing. We just don't sort of look at the big picture. It's all about the export dollar and mostly being bought by people overseas who are very well-to-do. An average Chinese person doesn't buy a bloody Australian crayfish. It's the well-to-do people who are buying our products, and the average Australian can't afford to buy them.
Okay.
Something is being missed here. If we just always look at the actual export dollar, we've got to look at the bloody big picture.
Right. Let's put the question to the chair of primary producers here in the state, Rob Kerrin. Rob, your answer to that one.
Yeah, well, I think that if you look at the South Australian situation, if we weren't exporting agricultural produce, we'd be going backwards at a hell of a rate of knots, because it is, you know, like one in five are involved in the food and wine industries. You know, that's a large part of our exports, and you know, and it's across a whole range of things, like the grain. Our biggest export's actually wheat, and nearly all that in South Australia's grown sort of dry land, as is most of our meat's grown dry land as well. So, you know, it's a fact of life. We need to have the money to make the economy go round, and if it wasn't for exports is the new money which comes into the economy, and that goes round and round and round. You know, our agricultural exports are really important to this country. We're not good at manufacturing anymore. We've priced ourselves out of that. What we can do and do really well is food and wine, and I wouldn't be apologising too much for the fact that we make an enormous contribution to the economy.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Rob, the answer to that one. Catherine, what can we actually do in a practical sense and almost immediately to actually support the agricultural and the producers here in South Australia?
So I think next time you go to the supermarket, Tony, have a look and see what the South Australian products are on the supermarket shelves. Or when you, any time you're shopping, go to a farmer's market. You're supporting very local producers there. So look out for the I Choose SA sign around the place on products and in retail outlets, and then you know you're supporting South Australian businesses. And rather than buying an imported product, put the South Australian product in your trolley.
Rob, what do you see? How long can producers survive this this lockdown? This well, the situation as is right now. Are we talking months? Are we talking weeks? Is there a timeline to it?
Look, as far as the producers go, it's a real mixed bag. Like a lot of them, if you're a grain grower, you know, you're only preparing for the next crop, that's probably going to have very little effect on you. But if you're an oyster farmer, if you are a supplier to hotels and restaurants, then yes, it's difficult. As Catherine said, you've got to go and find a new market chain to get rid of your, you know, it's like some fruit and veg people, for instance, are major suppliers to hotels and restaurants. They've had to go out and find alternatives. With oysters, it's a bit harder, but, you know, there's a push into supermarkets and online there. Yeah, so for some, they're doing it hard, but the majority are pretty much, as an essential service, are able to get on and do what they do best.
Righto. Scott, you're at... where are you? Modbury. You've got a question for both Rob and Catherine. Yeah, Scott, what's your question?
That called up a second ago, you didn't really answer his question. It's not the fact that we shouldn't export. Everyone understands the country has to make money. It's the fact that I cannot afford a lobster. That's the thing. I mean, the Saudis produce cack loads of oil, and you can go over there and buy fuel for like 23 cents a litre because they charge everyone else, not their own. Why isn't there something where we can charge everyone else for this lovely seafood that's great, but still have it so Australians can afford it?
Well, Rob, you're the chair of the oyster growers here in South Australia. Your answer to that one?
Yeah, well, the lobster industry, look, that's a market for us. I tell you what, it's not cheap catching lobsters nowadays either. The fuel prices are very high. Marine parks have got to go out a long way. You know, I'm not too sure how we tell them they've got to make a loss on their operation by only selling locally. I just don't think that'll work.
Yeah, go on, Scott. What was it?
I didn't, and it's not what I said. I'm not telling them to make a loss. It's just that we've been called the lucky country for so long, but it's getting to the point where the need to feed everyone else is driving the price up here, and it's just unacceptable because it's going to get to the point where we may as well drop the lucky country tag. Because, I mean, let's face it, the likes of Japan, they pay less for our gas than we do, and it's ours. I mean, it's things have to change.
Oh, that's been a bone of contention for ever and a day. As we wrap it up, hopefully this thing's... Oh, no, nobody can put a time limit on it, of course, but, gee, the producers and the people on the land who work so hard and have worked so long are doing what they do. Catherine, thanks for the time this afternoon. Good luck down the track. You're in for a busy time. Catherine Sayer, who's the CEO of Food South Australia, has been so since the inception of the thing about 7 or 8 or so years ago, and the chair of the primary producers here in South Australia. Favourite character of mine, I always refer to him as the King of Crystal Brook. Rob, lovely to talk to you again. Thanks for the time this afternoon.
Thanks, Bill.
Good on you, Catherine. Bye-bye. It's 2:30 minutes to 2 o'clock.